Have you ever felt like you're not the one for the job? That's a resounding yes. Over the past few weeks, I passed a milestone. I finally got my C for my counseling, my licensing C. It has been a long time coming. But as soon as I got it, and you could probably ask Pastor this, expectations started to happen. Let's see, I was offered a job that I may or may not take. I was asked to be more involved in an organization that I've been a part of for a long time. And then I was at the time considering taking on more responsibility at the job where I currently was. Now, those are good problems to have, right? Then why was I filled with fear, dread, nausea, anxiety, upset stomach, indigestion? I was the commercial. You know, all of us get into that place. It's that place where we have to face what comes next. That place where a flash of the future shows up and you go, me? My notes say, hello, adulting. My heart was saying, hello, responsibility. Well, if you ever felt that way, if any of you have ever felt that way, I mean, I know I'm one of only three in all the world. This morning's my message to you is, look at it again. Look at it again. The main point of my message today is, if you look at it from God's perspective, say I had to change it up a little bit, you see that the task was meant for you and only you. If you look at it from God's perspective, you will see that the task was meant for you and only you. Sometimes the problem, well, in most cases, the problem with a new assignment is not necessarily the assignment itself. It's us. It's us. It's our perspective. With our own eyes, we tend to see the situation. When I got the letter, actually a little bit before the letter, I had already sat down with Pastor, and he's looking at me with this long look on my face like, what the world is wrong with you? And I'm like, I am at this point where I'm sending in all the rest of the papers to get my license, and I am scared. I don't know what this is going to, what's going to happen. Are they going to accept me? Have I done enough? You know, my wife's sitting there like, you have done all your hours. You've gotten all your supervision. You've done all your classes. You've done what? You know, just send the stuff in. And I'm sitting here like, we're in staff meeting. I have the papers. I have them in the envelope. I'm like, y'all just pray over these, please. I felt like just, oh no, it was just like I was about to go up against the Inquisition or something. Like, this just didn't feel. But the reason I felt that way in a lot of points was that I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure of what it was that God was preparing me for next. I knew it was something. I wasn't sure of its size. I wasn't sure of what it would entail, but I knew it was something. And I was like, me? My eyes opened up. And all of a sudden, I could really see what the other 10 spies were seeing. Yeah. It was crystal clear to me. Okay? So y'all got that, you know, y'all were looking, you know, on the other side. Y'all were looking at the Joshua side and Caleb, right? No. I saw what they saw. Okay? If you don't remember, let me remind you. It said, They gave Moses this account. We went into the land which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is the fruit. Now, I want you to imagine this fruit coming in. It's like, you know, they got two of them on the pole. You know, it's this grapes, big clump of grapes back behind them. They're bringing them in, showing everybody, right? Keep that in mind. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw the descendants of Anak there, the Amalekites living in the Negev, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." To which I can truly, well, I can't relate to Pastor's message of, "Shut up, Caleb." Not at that point, I couldn't. But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we." And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land that they had explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak are from the Nephilim. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them." When the letter came, I looked at it, and all I could see was this big, huge thing that loomed large above me. Y'all been there. Y'all have been there, right? You've seen these tasks that come up, and they seem huge. How in the world can one person handle all of that? How in the world can one person attack that from this side? That, you know, handling these marital problems, they're just too big. Handling these children with disability, that's just too big. Handling this new career, it's just too big. Handling this church is just too big. Handling this ministry is just too big. All of a sudden, I look like a grasshopper in its sight. Notice how we tend to do that. We tend to go from our nice statuesque self to being a grasshopper, shrinking to the size that justifies our fear of what lies before us. Even though we saw the fruit. Now, I'll tell you, when I read that piece of it, I was like, the fruit, this is the good stuff, right? But don't you know the thing that scares us most out of the future that we have is the possibility of the rewards that we might get? Because, you know, the bigger the reward, you know, sometimes the bigger the responsibilities. Yes. We take a look at all of that and it's like, well, I can't handle all of that. That ain't bite size. You know, give me one of the mini Snickers bars. I can handle that. You know, if you just give me that, that means maybe they're not going to expect as much of me. If I take on this thing, you know, maybe they're not going to look at me to actually know exactly what it is I'm talking about. I was able to sit back and say, let me see. I told this person this, and look at the end result. I told this person this, look at the end result. I ain't ready for all of this. This task is too much for me. But that's not what God sees. God sees what you can accomplish through His power. We're looking at our eyes. And when we see in our eyes, yes, it is formidable. It is unattainable. It is unconquerable. But when we look through God's eyes, Joshua, son of Nun, Numbers 14:6 through 9, I believe it is, Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, "The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, He will lead us. Wait a minute. Let me go back. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us. Let me make sure y'all heard that. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Emphasis on the pronoun he. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land. Only do not give in to your own fear, nor allow for the circumstance to be seen as bigger than what you've been asked to do. Because we will devour them. Emphasis on the pronoun we. It's no longer a solo task. All of a sudden, you got company. Hallelujah. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. Because he knows we see all of those things that stand against us. It's not just the circumstance. Sometimes it is just us. And he's like, don't be afraid. I got you. I got your back. So, you see, Joshua saw that the other 10 spies and Caleb, what Joshua saw is that the other 10 spies needed a different perspective. Through God's eyes, they saw the vastness of the space. And which is interesting, because if you look at it, all of a sudden he saw this big, huge valley. And he said, there's vantage points here that we can use for good attacks. Ooh, man, that would be a nice place for a beautiful city. Ooh, that's going to be a nice, we're going to be well fed. All of a sudden he saw it from what the promise was that God had given. And now how enormous the task was became how big the blessing was going to be. A practical point for you here, if you want to write something down, it says, be truthful about what you see. Big and scary is okay. Just don't stop there. Speak only what you know to be true and not what you think will happen. See, that's where the anxiety piece comes in. We sit here and I think this gonna happen. I think this gonna happen. And it's all bad. But if the bad is there, as I sometimes tell my clients, so is the good. If we're gonna play the what if game, let's play it completely. If what if is bad, 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 then what if can also be good, 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 good. If you're going to go to the bottom of the pit of this is going to happen to me, then let's go to the top of the mountain as well. Yeah. Last thing I checked, last time I checked, God was in control. Well. So if God is in control, what's available to me? Amen. You are not alone. You are favored of God. He has called you to this place. To fail, wait a minute, he has not called you to this place to fail, but to bring glory to his name. Don't be afraid of your enemies. Your enemies have lost their cover. You will devour them. But first, you have to see the situation through God's eyes. Now, I'm going to tell you, all of that sounds great. That was good. That was good. You know, I received that part in my spirit when I first got through it. But then it started creeping in again. And I was like, all right, Lord, I get you. The situation is all right. Whatever it is that you're going to present is going to be good. But I know my skills. I'm not the smartest person. I'm good. I'm talented. I got that. But, I fail so many times. You know, if you look at it, if you want this to be done, I'm sure Judy would be a lot better. She got a PhD, she's been doing this for a while. She got this. There's times when I look at my duties and I'm going, I'm sure pastor would be better. You know, hey, all these couples coming through, they need this spiritual guiding. They need to be rebonded with Christ. And that's pastor. That's right there. He got all the scriptures memorized. He can say them backwards. Give him a test in pig Latin and he's got it. When that didn't work, I even pulled my son out. I was like, look, my son could probably do it. He's taller. He's a lot stronger than me. I'm sure he could get this done. To which I'm pretty sure he was looking at me going, really? What is going on with you? But it ended up bringing me to point two, which is, you know, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things others people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7. We all know that the qualities, all of those qualities of man, they're fleeting. They're temporal. They fade away. But in the context of us, they're not all that God needs. In understanding that God knows our heart, that means that he knows the essence of who we are. He not only sees, you know, the physical stuff that, you know, hey, he can lift 150 pounds, 500 pounds, you know, he can run 6 miles, you know, she is brilliant. She can diagnose any type of problem that comes up. You know, yeah, that's good. You know, she went to Harvard. He went to Princeton. Blah, 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 blah. You know, we sometimes even pick leaders that way, right? You know, we have this whole group of people standing up, you know, talking about different things, just pontificating. Well. And subconscious, we kind of look up and it's like, all right, who's the tallest? You know. We go through that whole demographic. Who went to the right school?
Fine.
Okay, fine, works. You know, but that's not what God needs. Israel made that mistake, right? You know, hey, we need a king. We got to have a king. All right, so let's get Saul. Perfect specimen. Here's his brother, tall, handsome, you know, strong, warrior. Oh, yeah, we got one. This is it. You know, I could have seen the lady sitting there going, yes. You know, but there were people, there were portions there about him that were missing. See, everybody saw this and they followed behind him. It's like, yes, we're going to be great in battle. But they didn't see the full essence of who he was. God knew that. All right, y'all made this decision, but I'm telling you, this ain't going to turn out well. But it looked good. We didn't know that when, you know, times got tough, you know, he would probably, all right, see, I can't do this on my own, so this probably ain't going to be for me. He didn't know that, you know, hey, I'm going to go and choose the things that are most expedient for me. Hey, I don't need to ask God to go do this. I'll just go do this myself. You know, hey, if somebody else want to give me a little bit of prophecy over here, I'll take it. You know, as long as it gets me to where I need to be, you know. Even when he made a mistake, it was like, you know, how can I manipulate God to, you know, be back on my side? You know, I'm not going to take what this, you know, this Samuel cat's going to tell me about it. You know, I'm not about that. You know, I'm Saul. I got this. And you got the kingdom taken right out of his hands. That's because God saw something more. See, God saw the fullness of the skills within the person. He went up and he looked up this little David kid and said, all right, he ain't the tallest of them all. No, he ain't the cutest. Had a little red hair. He was all right. But what they did, what's wrong with that? But they did see the fullness of who he was. He saw how this young man took care of the sheep. He saw how faithful he was to his father. He saw how faithful he was to his God. It reminded me of a Marvel character, Steve Rogers. Y'all know who Steve Rogers? Captain America. There you go. If you know the story, here you see this young cat. He's skinny. He about that tall. Wait a minute. I think I'm giving them more. He about that tall. You know, but he had a heart. So there's this scene in the movie where they have all of these people going. They're trying to decide this person for this new program. You know, they got this special program that they need the bravest, the strongest soldier for. And so they're marching along. They're doing all their stuff. You know, seeing the guys, they can shoot the weapons and they're doing all this stuff, the strongest and everything. And they're all in this formation one day. And one of the cats takes this little fake grenade and just kind of tosses it. You know, all these other dudes, they 6'5", 6'7", you know, they big, strong. Scatter. Shoot. Steve, on the other hand, goes, jumps on top of it. I got it, y'all run. Mm-hmm. And they were like, that's our boy. See, appearance can't tell you what's in the heart. Amen. Appearance can't tell you the size of the heart.
That's right.
You need a God to tell that. Mm-hmm. Appearance can't tell you even the size of your own heart. Because if we go just by what we see, yeah, we might sit back and cower back a little bit. Lord, I just don't see that ability. I don't see that capability. I don't see that skill. I don't see how I'm going to get through. And he's like, wait a minute, I know you. I know the fullness of who you are. The reason that I selected you for this task was not because you were the cutest, although you're cute, Deidre. That was not at you. Fix this before I get in trouble. He did it because he knew who you were. He knew your heart. He knew your struggles. He knows your strength. He knew that what comes out of your voice doesn't just come out of the ability that you have. It comes out of the heart. It comes out of the pain. It comes out of every experience. It comes out of the faith that God, that you have had in him. And because of that, he knows that that would be conveyed to others who don't have that faith that you have. He knows that the mother that you are that way because he's seen how strong you are. He stood up and said, you know what? I see you. I see every inch of sweat and tear that you give. And I assigned you to this task, not because I thought, it'd be cool. But I knew that you would be the only one that would accomplish it. You see, you have skills much greater than anything that you might ever suspect. And a few of them are kind of underneath, and we don't even look at them. You know, my point for this one was to recount how God has used your gifts. It may tell you how capable and well prepared you are to accomplish the task that you've been assigned to. How many of you have taken time to just go back and count those blessings? And after you've counted the blessings, how many of you really looked at how many ways that you've gotten out of things and said, how in the world did he use that to get me this? See, if you do some time to take some time to take a step back, you might see, whoo, I'm a bad man. or woman. Because God has been there and he's saying, I'm going to use all of you to accomplish what's there. So what's left? I ain't going to stay up here all day. What's left is the calling itself. And I like the fact that Scripture calls it a calling. Because calling doesn't mean command. It means it's an invitation. It's an invitation that you can accept or you can run away from. But it's irrevocable. Romans 11:29. So that means no one else can accomplish that mission except you. And it's there for the purpose of glorifying God and glorifying you in him. Do you get that? He said the calling that you've been given might be a difficult task, but you've already gone through so much already that you've built up the muscle and you're ready to fight. All you got to do is handle it. There's no place in it that's too difficult. I don't care what the problems are that come up against it. Deidre sung, "You Know My Name." Oh, not "You Know My Name." "I Am Not Forgotten." Okay? You're right. You are never forgotten. God does know your name and your essence and your power and your strength and your might and your abilities and your fears and your anxieties and your loves. He knows all of who you are. So if he knows it, that means he knows how to use it.
Hallelujah.
Looking at the task God's way sheds a different light on not only what you have to do, but also why you should do it. The call becomes less of an onerous task and more of a righteous mission. The allure changes, and you now face the giants with confidence instead of fear. The armies with righteous indignation instead of retreat. You see the length of a road as the training for a marathon as opposed to an endless journey. In him, we see the size of the grapes as great rewards and not a red flag signaling giants live here. So again, should I take on the task? At the end of the day, should I take on the task? If you're thinking about a new promotion you got, should you take on the task? He knows you. He knows every essence of you. He knows what you're already prepared for. There's somebody that's going to walk in, that's going to touch, that's going to need a touching in such a way that only you can provide. Mm-hmm. That's the reason you're there.
Amen.
If there's anything that's sitting up in front of you right now and you're waiting to decide whether you're going to move on, if you're sitting pregnant on that thing waiting for it to birth, take another look at it. God has selected you for the task. All I ask you to do is to do like Samuel. Answer the phone. "Hey, Lord, here I am." It may be tough, but if you answer it, what he's going to bring, it's going to be his success and yours.